For 12/28/2011, it's a soaporific episode of Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Wes.
Hey, we got a new setup here in the studio where everybody can see their levels on this monitor behind me. Ooh. It's going to be distracting. Nobody's going to be looking at me anymore. They're all going to be looking at the screen behind us.
Pretty blinky lights.
Yeah. So far, you're the only one with a significant little waveform.
Yeah, well, that's what it usually looks like for the entire show.
Oh, yeah?
Because you guys never get a word in edgewise. How's it going, everybody? We had a Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was everybody's Christmas?
Ho, ho, ho. It was all right. It was pretty good.
You went off into the wilderness.
Yeah, where you were like apart from all the rest of us, right?
Yeah, I was off in the eastern shore of Maryland.
Did you have a lot of crab kicks?
The bay. I'm not really into crab.
Did you dig clams?
No.
Did you run grains?
Were you only allowed to eat a certain number of oysters? I mean, lobsters per week?
I don't know if they get lobsters in that area. They used to get oysters. Apparently, the oysters have all either died from pollution or been fished out.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it's they're oystered out, right?
Yeah, I guess that's...
Because, you know, they're not fish.
Exactly.
What'd you do over there? Did you look at? Did you read a lot of Reader's Digest condensed books?
No.
While drinking a lot of condensed milk.
I watched a new Metal Gear Solid Let's Play. And
how did that happen? I thought you
they didn't have the internet.
No, I downloaded it onto my iPad.
The entire internet?
No, the Let's Play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because if that's something that you can do, I've changed my 10 things for the desert island list. The entire internet.
I think all of Wikipedia is
Other than that, and like we went and saw a few of the new movies that have come out.
Which movies did you see?
We saw Sherlock Holmes and War Horse and the Muppet movie and Hugo.
There's three of those four I'm interested in.
They were all pretty
Which
decent.
One are you not interested
War
in?
Horse.
War Horse. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was okay. It was a little bit. I mean, saying that a horse movie was kind of sappy in parts is like saying, I don't know, like a
tree
Michael Bay
sappy
movie might have some explosions in it.
I'm going to make a prediction. The horse dies at the end.
No, actually.
Oh, it's surely spoilers. Dead by
wow.
now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a World War I movie, right?
Yeah, but it was. I mean, but as a World
was
War
it a
I
Polish
movie, it had
horse?
Some good stuff in it. No, it was English.
How did
it was
it
from
get,
Horsaw.
How did it get across the bay?
Well, that's part of the story.
Did it swim?
It's
was it seeking out
give
war?
It away.
They accidentally gave it horseshoes made of balloons instead of iron.
It's sort of like Forrest Gump, except instead of a retarded man, it's a horse.
Okay, so the horse just sort of causes every important historical event during its entire lifetime.
Well, it passes through the hands of a lot of various and different people in the course of World War I.
Catherine the Great, if you know
I mean. Nobody famous, but yeah, it's that sort of plot progression.
Huh. For those of you who don't know what Kevin means, Catherine the Great fucked a horse.
Well, she was killed. Well, I mean, the story goes that she was killed while trying to have sex with a horse.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So Hugo is that movie about science fiction novelists, right?
Hugo is a movie about a kid that lives in a train station
Nebula
and is in charge of all the clocks.
It's animated, right?
No.
What?
It's all live action.
What?
Oh, I thought it was
animated. It is live action in 3D, and if you can possibly not see it in 3D, I think it would be much better that way.
Are you thinking of Arthur Christmas?
Because it was not filmed in 3D.
Are you sure it's not animated? There's like the whole trailer was like cartoons of like gears and oh no, I guess it was live action.
Yeah, it's
fuck.
I mean, the sets might be in some part
in my brain.
So
it was animated.
They didn't have to build all those gears, but
okay.
Yeah, I learned from the newest Plinkett review. He did the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
He hasn't directed it.
What? No, he did the review.
He reviewed it. Yeah,
That big weird tripod Mayan thing that hid the alien treasure chamber was a real thing that was not CGI. Those giant rods that folded up into the sky and then the drained around them, like that was an actual practical set.
Wow, awesome. Yeah.
Well, sort of. Well,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. I can imagine so many things I would rather have had built than that bullshit.
I think they probably do an analysis of how much is this going to cost to build, how much is this going to cost to do CGI, and then just pick the cheaper one, right?
Like, you don't think there's ever somebody that's like, wouldn't it be, like, I know that this will cost 10% more to do it as a real thing, but wouldn't it be awesome if we could create jobs for guys who make fake Mayan carvings? I mean, that's a rough industry to be in, right? You get a master's degree.
Well, not in the year 2012.
Okay. Sure. I guess that does get a little more important.
There's a whole industry of people making new Mayan calendars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got to start.
Did you guys hear that they found some Mayan temples or
in Georgia? Yeah. That's crazy. They unearthed this huge Mayan city in Georgia.
Didn't, though.
They just discovered it by radio.
They earthed it.
Yeah. It's still underground. They just found it with like one of those things where they send Sam Neill and Laura Dern out to fire shotguns at the ground and take pictures of the dust that flies up into the air.
It was with metal detectors.
Oh, it was solid gold Mayan cities.
Well, speaking of which, that is something that kind of interesting that we did is they, in Washington, D.C., they had a museum exhibit of the Staffordshire hoard, which is like the largest Anglo-Saxon gold treasure.
Was this the one that was found on that guy's farm?
Yeah.
It was in National Geographic a couple months ago.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. It's all gold and bent up and tiny, tiny garnets that had been shaved into very particular shapes.
Wow.
It was impressive stuff. I love how
they recreate what the thing probably was from they'll do here's a 4-foot staff of which we have 2 inches that we're just assuming that we can figure out what the rest of the staff might look like.
This is what Cleopatra looked like.
Yeah.
This year. What'd you get for Christmas, Riff?
Well, the big thing I got was a new Razer Ultimate Black Widow gaming keyboard.
Is that a thing that you asked for? Or is that
I had it on my Amazon list for a while. Ever since I dumped a Coke into my other keyboard. But it's
so when you dumped a Coke into your keyboard, it randomly placed a bunch of things onto your Amazon wish list.
Exactly. Luckily, one of them was a new keyboard.
What makes it so awesome?
Firstly, all the letters on the keys glow blue like Tron.
Okay.
Which is awesome. It's got a bunch of extra function keys, and it's got a macro key so you can record and install macros on the fly.
Yeah, that's how I won a modem back in the day.
Oh, yeah, you scripted your trade wars with keyboard macros.
And it sounds like a fucking machine gun when I type, so I'm worried that eventually Roy or Patrick are going to snap and murder me.
Well, Roy listens with his headphones most of the time.
Yeah, Roy only watches television at work, so won't interfere with anything he's doing. It's weird, though. The F keys are scooted over. The escape key is not in the upper left-hand corner. It's like offset by one key width, and then the F1 is directly above W, which is theoretically to make the F keys more accessible while you're WASDing.
Yeah.
But having it in a
different... I don't ever have WASD happening and F keys at the same time, I don't feel like.
Really? You never how the fuck did you play World of Warcraft? Every time I saw you playing World of Warcraft, you had some UI mod that had a million goddamn hotbars all over the place.
Right, but I feel like those were all hotkeyed to just my numbers.
But there are only 10 numbers.
Yeah. And all the rest are...
You know, the Arabs made it so there were 10.
Are like shift number or option number or...
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it never occurred to me to do that. I've been playing with key mappings and... mapping things to R. That's a letter.
Yeah, that is a letter.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's really close to WASD.
Yeah.
God.
It's got a second vertical row of function keys down the left too, and I keep hitting F16 instead of tab. So it's gonna take a while to get used to.
Wow. That sucks because you're so thirsty and they just keep sending you a fighter plane.
I know, right?
How was your Christmas, Wes?
It was good. I got some new sneakers and I got some fancy tequilas.
What kind of tequila?
I got some Don Julio Añejo, which is one of my favorites. Uh-huh. And I got some Don Sergio, which I had never heard of, but the guy at the liquor store recommended it to Rachel, so she got it, and it turns out it's pretty good.
Okay.
And
I did not know you were a tequila aficionado.
Yeah. I am a fan of the tequila.
Hmm. We went to a tequila bar in San Diego once, and they kept trying to push the $300 a shot tequila on us. And
we're like, I remember what that was called. It wasn't even like Cabo. I was like, the only way I'm paying $300 a shot for tequila is if Sammy Hagar personally distilled it out of his own urine.
You can drink that three times, you know?
Yeah, before you get sick. Although with tequila, it's weird, you know.
Yeah, who knows?
How was your Christmas, Kevin?
It was good. This is the first year that I have stayed in the state.
Oh, yeah. Kevin and
residence.
I hung out with our moms and our girlfriends, and the four of us had a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah. It was really nice. We spent all of Christmas Eve watching Christmas movies. You know,
Yeah, Wes came over.
Yeah,
Gremlins.
Watched Gremlins. Got to watch Part of Die Hard and Gremlins.
I went out on Christmas night and watched Gremlins again.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was great.
And then we watched that in Love Actually, and 30 Minutes or Less.
30 Minutes or Less, yeah, which is not a Christmas movie, but...
I have it on Netflix.
I thought you meant you watched Love Actually in 30 Minutes or Less.
Yeah. High speed. You've gotten into the habit of listening to podcasts at double speed, and you've decided to start watching movies.
Yeah. There are some movies that I would have done that.
Skip all the parts that aren't related to porn.
The fucking Tree of Life, man. I would have watched that at double speed.
There is no part of Love Actually that can be skipped.
Sure.
Every part of it is great.
It's all good. And then, yeah, I got some cool stuff. I got some video games, and I got the most exciting bottle of scotch I've ever gotten. I got a bottle of Macallan 30.
Nice.
Which, I don't even know. I never expected to even try it, let alone have an entire bottle.
Right, because it seemed like a thing that no one would ever be stupid enough to buy.
Does it come with like an eyedropper so you can portion it out?
No.
Next year, I want for Christmas, Kevin, is a bottle of Louis XIII.
It's about the same. King.
Yeah, a bottle of. What you can do is just give me a bottle of air and say there is at least one molecule of oxygen in this air that was in Louis XIII's last
dying breath
glass of cognac. Did he like or hate the French?
Louis the 14th?
13th, isn't it? 13th? I think the cognac is Louis the 13th.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought the Louis were French.
Were they all French?
Yeah, they were French. So I don't.
But was he a self-loathing French or a happy French?
I think he was happy, because I think he's the one that built Versailles, right?
I don't know. Do I sound like I know anything about history? Okay. If it was a video game, I would know about it. So, sort of. Maybe.
I can't wait until we get just corrected on all our historical facts.
I got a sweet saxophone for Christmas.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Did you ever play the saxophone?
I did. I didn't before. I went in for a hand operation, and I was like, doctor, after this operation, will I be able to play the saxophone? And he said, yes. And I was like, sweet. Mom, give me a saxophone for Christmas.
You should record a new saxophone version of the interstitial music.
Oh, yeah. Some sort of.
Yeah, it's like jazzy. It's like, yeah.
Video games noir.
Smooth hot dog.
Noir hot dog.
Noir hot dog.
That was the one instrument I ever played in junior high.
Which kind?
Alto.
Alto. I played the tenor sax from like, I played clarinet when I was like in sixth grade, and then switched to tenor sax in seventh grade and played that until my freshman year. It all came back. I was able to make a sound, and it sounded like a saxophone sound.
Yep.
And then I learned, I like printed out a fingering chart, which, you know, I had that bookmarked. and then I was like, yeah, cool. So I figured out how to play a chromatic scale across two octaves, and I was like, that's every note. Now I can play literally any song. The thing that I remember about most instruments that, here's the thing, kids, any instrument that's not a piano or a guitar, just don't bother. Like, because you can't do anything interesting with an instrument that you can only play one note at a time on. Like, a guy with a guitar can play a song that's like, hey, that's a good song. And a guy at a piano can play a song that you're like, cool, a song. But a guy with a French horn, you'd be like, huh, that would be great if that guy was in an orchestra.
I would disagree with you on a sax, because there is some incredible sax playing that I've heard in, like, Morphine, for example, right? Like,
yeah, but it's backed up with drums and a bass. And
yeah, but just the sax part is pretty amazing.
Every once in a while, you will see like a guy on the subway just playing a saxophone, and it's not terrible. But if you hear it and it's good, it's usually because he's also got like a drum machine or a recording of an entire other song that he's playing while he pretends to play the saxophone.
Anyway. There's a recorder coming out of the sax itself.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll record the video games hot dog theme music this week. in saxophone. I'll translate it. Yeah, and then I got Skyward Sword, which I will play one of these days.
Cool. Will you actually, or will you just think about it?
Probably I will turn my Wii on and it won't work. Did or you some play life will
Arkham
change.
City ever?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
I got that for my birthday and haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, because I feel like you put it in your PlayStation, but then you never...
Well, so I learned my lesson. I put it in my PlayStation the day before I wanted to play it, so that I would be able to play it by the time I came back to it. And I did. I played you know, 2 or 3 hours of Arkham City. What I did not do was, like, when I played Arkham Asylum, I was like, all right, I need to actually play this game, so I'm going to play some of this every day until I beat it, because it's not that long of a game. And I did that, but if I had skipped a day, I never would have gone back to it. Because it's like...
Is it like vitamins?
Yeah. It's like downstairs. I was short on magnesium, and so I can't make it down the stairs.
I also got the Assassin's Creed Bloodlines game for PSP.
Yeah.
That's kind of relevant to this podcast.
Is that any good?
I guess. I haven't tried it yet.
I've heard it's very good. Yeah. I just got that off the Steam sale for Mac.
Do you
I haven't looked at it yet.
Do you have a PSP that you play regularly?
Yeah.
Huh. I feel like I don't see them. I don't see those out and about much.
Mine's just been plugged into its charger for 3 years.
Yeah, same here.
Since Crisis Core. I don't remember. There were two things that I got into on the PSP. One of them...
Trouble?
I bought the new Castlevania game that came with Symphony of the Night as an unlockable. Played that just long enough to unlock Symphony of the Night, and then got... That's the only time I ever got 100% on Symphony of the Night was on the PSP.
For me, it was all three Patapon games.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, mostly I've been playing the PSP classic downloads. I got Symphony of the Night, and I got the original Metal Gear Solid, and nice. I've been playing those.
Oh, is it? It's a new one that you can download stuff on then. Can you download stuff on my PSP, my old one, original one?
I don't know.
You don't have an original one.
It's not a Vita. Right? You don't have the crazy.
Oh no!
This is just one of the PSP lights.
It's the silver one. It was like the second generation PSP or something.
They call it PS2. You can plug a keyboard into it.
PSQ.
So we treaded dangerously close to what have you been playing territory. What have you been playing, Wes?
Honestly, mostly I've been playing The Assignment.
Okay.
But I'm
not allowed to talk about that in this segment.
Right. Sorry.
Kevin will beat you up if you don't go along with the thing on the thing that's thumbtacked to the mattress.
I managed to squeeze in some City Heroes, of course. They got their holiday event going on.
I feel super bad ditching you on that in favor of World of Warcraft.
I understand.
What's the holiday event? You get a Santa hat?
No, every Christmas and Halloween, they always do some really fun event. Right now...
Same event each year or different?
Oh, no, it's different every year. But this year, the Christmas event was, I guess, you go to Lord Winter's realm and fight him or something like that. But I couldn't actually get that to work because I couldn't get enough people together to actually qualify to go into the event.
Oh, is it like a raid?
Yeah. But which made me kind of wonder... how much of a bite did the Old Republic take out of City of Heroes?
I'm guessing it took a bite out of everything.
Yeah.
It took a bite out of everything that I would have been doing instead of playing.
Like crime?
Yeah, crime. Darn it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to eat some sushi and not pay for it.
But they also do a bunch of other stuff, like scattered across the city or these Christmas packages, and you open them and you either get...
A bomb.
Yeah, well, you either get something good like some inspirations or some temporary powers or something, or costume bits or whatever. Or if you're, you know, the other side of the coin is a bunch of snowmen come out and start attacking you.
Hmm. But, are they servants of the snowman?
Probably.
Like, yeah. Snowman sounds like a superhero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if Iceman is a superhero, Snowman can be. He goes around pretending that he's
his
Parson Brown.
Nemesis is Fireman.
Yeah. What else?
I found a series of games, a flash games called Armed with Wings, and the newest one, the one that I came into it, is called Culmination, and it just really blew me away as far as the art and the character animation.
How did you find this game?
It was on Armor Games or Congregation or Congregate.
What kind of game is it?
It's a side-scrolling fighter kind of thing, platformy. Hmm. but it's
sort of like Contra or something, maybe.
Well, you have a sword instead of guns.
Okay,
and it's
so like Rastan.
Yeah, but it's
or the sequel NASTAR Warrior, or the sequel to that NASCAR Warrior.
But it's all monochromatic, and I guess the default is black and white, but it actually has an option where you can turn color on. But even still, it's very subtle, and it's just really beautiful to look at. And as a Flash animator, I can really appreciate the work that went into the character animation. Or just like when the guy's running, there's like dust clouds flowing behind him, and when you stop, it kicks up a cloud of dust, and it's just like the sword swings and all the combos that you can do. Everything that your character or any of the enemies do is just animated so well.
I feel like that's rough because you can't rely on having a lot of frames to express something if it's going to happen quickly.
Right.
Because you have to be good at animating in addition to being good at using Flash in order to make a Flash game actually look good when it's animated.
But yeah, this guy really did a top-notch job. I don't know if it was like a team of guys or just one guy, but it was just done really well.
I found that somebody, a handful of people found it for me and posted
to the
Twitter.
That.
Yeah, that Great Dungeon in the Sky, which was the weird Flash game with a million different characters.
It's in like a floating island or something.
Is that the one you were talking about last show?
Yeah.
I want to write that down because I want to play that.
It was kind of interesting. I guess it was done as part of some sort of contest, and so all of the art assets from all the games in that contest are in the public domain or Creative Commons license.
Yeah, so you see them all over the place. But I don't know. It's cool that there's this game with all these enemies, and every time you kill an enemy, you get to play as that guy. But there are only like 5 levels. You go to there's this huge grid that you're moving around in on this like overworld map or whatever.
Yeah.
But there are only like 5 different levels.
They're huge
that I've
though.
Found. They're not very huge. They're really not very big.
I feel like I played for over an hour or two and had not played through the entire.
I played probably 30 levels of it, and they were the same 5 levels over and over again. Being able to fly, I killed a guy that could fly, so he could just jump and jump and jump and jump and jump. It just made it so I could get through levels really fast, and it was just the same level over and over.
It's
weird. I wasn't imagining it, I swear. I don't know where the dragon was. I didn't find any of the dragons that you're supposed to kill.
Weird.
It was weird.
That indicates to me that there's clearly more to the game. If you didn't find something that you're supposed to be doing, right? Like,
No, I'd only went to 5% of the levels that there were, and now I know how he was able to put so many levels in the game by copying and pasting the same 5 levels.
So you're saying that they're skinned differently but have the same...
They are not even skinned differently. They are literally the same level.
I'd have to go back and look at it. I seem to remember it being...
They have different enemies in them.
Significantly different.
Maybe you got lucky and I got unlucky.
Yeah, no, I guess if you played 30 times and you got the same 5 levels.
Yeah.
Huh.
6 times each.
Yeah.
Approximately.
what have you been playing, Riff?
Mostly all I've been playing since I've been in an internet-free zone, I played a bunch of iPad hidden object games.
Okay.
Because Jenny has started a new video game-oriented blog. It's unlockablehat.wordpress.com, and I promised that I'd do a
slash
bunch
live
of,
journal.
I promised I'd do a bunch of iPad game reviews, so I'm starting out with a series on hidden object games, so people can go and look at that and RSS it, and I'll start editing and posting
is hidden
reviews
object, that's
shortly.
Distinct from like Escape the Room in that it's like, here's a picture. There are things in this picture that
here is a picture of a very messy place.
Seems like somebody got you what you wanted for Christmas, which
objects
is that turns you into a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, they tend to be very fairy centric. In terms of plots.
Everything was
fairy princesses
was haunted in the
and
ones
yes,
that my
lots of haunting. Yeah. But yeah, I find them satisfying. They're not a game that I would ever play if I have something better to do, but they're fun and satisfying just as like something to do for 20 minutes before I go to bed.
Or if there's always something better to do, use your imagination.
my imagination consists of looking for objects and then clicking on them.
Oh yeah, those games are literally the only thing that you would be capable of imagining at any given moment.
Yeah.
I mean, during the day, you could just look at the sky and try to imagine what the clouds look like.
Right, and then you click on it.
Yes.
Just like sprinkle different, go into the kitchen cabinets, sprinkle different stuff in your eye and look around and see what you see. Yeah, that looks like some pepper. Real close up.
Yeah, so pretty much that is all I have played except for like a couple hours of Skyrim when I got home last night. So,
how was Skyrim treating you?
Pretty good. I finally saved up 36,000 septums to buy the fanciest house in the game.
Is septum different than gold?
I think that is just the official name septums. Of the gold piece.
Are they
yeah.
pierced septums?
Oh!
And yeah, so bought this fancy house and started moving all my shit from my old house and discovered that the new house doesn't have enough containers.
That sucks.
Yeah. That was a bummer.
You have to keep all your alchemy ingredients in a barrel.
Yeah, and then I discovered that my little cabinet that I was keeping potions in had about 800 pounds worth of potions in it.
He picked everything up, and he was overburdened by 800 to 495 or 485. It's like, oh,
so,
my God.
And then putting them all back in the new cabinet took a long time because
you're never
going to
drink all those potions.
Click. I am not, but also I'm never going to take them all to a merchant to sell them. So in order to get rid of them, I pretty much have to put them in a cabinet. I can't just dump them in the street because people will run up to me and shout at me about littering and give them back.
You could leave them in your old house.
I guess
not
I probably
could.
Not like
you could. Lose your house.
But it's not my new house.
Right. That's the old house where I keep all the shitty potions I'm never going to drink.
I noticed that you weren't moving back and forth with a companion. Like, is it just not worth it to...
I have not used companions hardly at all.
I mean, I think their primary benefit to people like us is an additional 150 pounds of carrying.
Yeah.
Capacity.
I mean, that seems like...
It's not worth it.
They're always in the fucking way.
They're always in the way. They die. They don't follow properly, and you have to go back inside and
you can
outside
tell
and inside
them,
and outside
tell
until they arrive.
Don't die.
Yeah, I did tell them to wait here once, and I started fighting a wolf from like a mile away, and he came running up.
It's like fucking horse, man.
Yeah, horses. Horses are bad about that.
They'll just run up a mountain and attack something, and you're like, "What the fuck, horse?"
Huh?
While you're on it?
No. You're never on it. The horses suck. They're like
they move barely faster than walking.
I think they're actually slightly slower than walking. And it says there's a tooltip. The horses of Skyrim are slow, but they're also real stupid.
They can tank dragons.
Yeah,
they can. I also started playing Skyrim. I've now put like 5 or 6 hours into it, I guess.
What does the girlfriend think about this?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Well, does she know?
Yeah.
Does she listen to this show?
When I got home and went in to say hi and you were playing Skyrim, I texted Jenny and said, "Oh my God, I got home and Kevin is playing Skyrim." And she texted back, "Oh my God, did he and Melissa break up?"
Yeah. No, I mean, the trick is just, you know, to keep it as a pastime and not an obsession.
The trick is to chloroform your girlfriend.
For Christmas, she got herself... Dragon Age Origins.
Mm-hmm.
So she started playing. She spent all day playing Dragon Age, and I'm like, I kind of want to go play Skyrim.
Does she have any idea how the combat works? Because I sure as hell don't. After several hours of playing Dragon
Age,
she's
killed some dudes.
Oh yeah,
in there,
like a darkling.
I don't know. I kept asking her like what she was doing with the buttons, and she's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And yeah, I don't know. And then besides Skyrim, which is kind of fun, a little overwhelming. There's too much game for me. Kind of freaks me out.
Just narrow it down and just find like one quest path and that you can focus on.
It's not the quests, it's the world.
Really?
Like, because I want to talk to everybody and hear their story and find out what their thing is. But like, I went from having to worry about like Stormcloaks and the Empire or whatever to then worrying about like this... this group of companions or whatever, and then there's this like two families in Whiterun that are like arguing. Is every place going to introduce two more factions for me to be stressed out about?
Yes, it will. So that's the trick. Just find a faction to think about for a while, and when you're done with them, then find another one. And I figure I'm just playing through it like that. I'm not even really looking for new quests at some point because there's a bunch of towns I've gone into and not talked to anybody because I didn't want any new quests. And I figure just when I run out of stuff to do, I'll bust out the playing guide and find stuff that I haven't done yet and go do it.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. It's very difficult for me, who is somebody who likes to explore and interact with everything, sort of mm-hmm. in ever expanding little sort of concentric circles or whatever. And yeah, it's driving me crazy.
You never run out of stuff to do because it'll just start randomly generating quests for you.
Sure.
In places.
I think those all, you can tell which ones those are though, because they all fall into the miscellaneous tab. So
really,
I think so.
There's a bunch of stuff in the miscellaneous tab that isn't randomly generated.
Yeah. But none of the randomly generated stuff has its own name.
Okay.
So my plan is once I've seemed to have run out of stuff to do, I'll get a map and open and clear every icon on the map and go through the list and make sure I've done every named quest.
Huh.
And that'll be how I know that I've completed it to my satisfaction.
That's
which nice. Will probably take like 300-400 hours.
I was gonna say you've already gone way beyond what I expected.
I'm up to about 150 hours, and I haven't finished the main quest. I haven't started the Bard's Guild or the Fighter's Guild.
It doesn't hurt anything to finish the main quest, and you get some really useful abilities.
I have been meaning to. I've been progressing through the main quest here and there. But between every notch on the main quest, I just feel compelled to go and do something else for a little bit.
Oh, also, not everybody knows this, but you can talk to Argnir at the Greybeards, and he'll tell you where a word of power is that you haven't found yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did for a really long time, was just played that way, just going and collecting all of the shouts. And, you know, you run into enough dragons in the meantime that you can power them
God.
Up. Just dragons everywhere.
Are there... Infinite dragons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never run out of dragons.
Yeah. Even after you finish the main quest line, there will still be dragons to kill.
You can never be too rich, too thin, or have no dragons left.
So the only other thing besides Skyrim that I've played in any reasonable amount of quantity was the Professor Layton and the Last Scepter.
Oh,
how's Spectre. That?
What'd you think?
Because
I remember you were dubious.
Yeah, it is. The puzzles are... There's a couple of bullshit puzzles and then some good puzzles that are just sort of slightly better than previous Professor Layton's. I'm still annoyed by their the time between puzzles where I'm wandering around a map, clicking on absolutely fucking everything. They've introduced a new thing where you'll see...
Looking for pieces of gum.
A mouse and it's moving across the screen for maybe 2 or 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And if you click on it, you get some sort of
mouse coin.
Yeah. And I have no idea what those are for yet. I've got 15 of them already.
Turns out they're not very important.
Well, sure.
Does it have infinite mice?
I don't know if you want to. Not sure. I don't know. Probably.
Does it ever cycle?
Nothing in the game is very important, right? Yeah. That's the thing is you don't need all these hint coins. I've got over 100 already and I'm never going to spend even a single one, but I feel compelled to find all of them every time.
But sometimes there's a puzzle hidden somewhere.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So you have to look for everything. Maybe one of those mice will have some cheese that it needs you to arrange.
Or mouse AIDS.
Yeah. Please find the cure for my mouse AIDS.
Yeah. I mean, I want to solve it. I want to beat it because I kind of like the stories of them. And I appreciate the... They've been changing up the mechanics somewhat. There's a couple of puzzle mysteries that you have to solve sort of in real time or whatever, where he'll be seems more like maybe a Phoenix Wright kind of thing, where it'd be tell me why this thing happened, and then you'll pick one of 3 responses, and he's correct.
Yeah, that is a mechanic that seems to be taken from a lot of
court dramas.
Well, those and the sort of interactive novels that they like in Japan. I feel like it's more than anything, it's a way of making sure that the player is keeping up with the plot.
Right.
It quizzes you every now and then on what's been going on so that you understand the story so far.
Right. Because the plot is so dumb and the presentation of it is so clumsy that they can't rely on
itself. And they're expecting it to be being played by 14-year-olds. So, yeah.
I mean, you definitely get a better sense of the world and stuff.
Too busy smoking the reefer to pay attention to a video game.
By, talking to everybody.
Sexting.
It's the same kind of thing that's going on in Skyrim. I feel like I could just ignore everyone and do just the quest that I'm talking about. But, you know, by talking to people and trying to read some of the books and stuff like that, I feel like I'm getting a better sense of the world. But it's just so expansive.
Did you look at
Dude,
the
don't read any of
London
the
Life
books.
Thing?
I spent 10 minutes playing the London. So with Professor Layton in the fourth game, they came out with this mini game, which is accessible immediately. You can do it before you even have started your first game, and it's like a little I don't know, like a
sort of like Animal Crossing. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. And weird, even weirder, it does not appear in the European editions of the game.
Huh. Well, they don't. I mean, to them, London life is just life.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, just like in animal versions of Animal Crossing, there's no game at all. It's actually just a yawn-y
It's just
CD.
Crossing. Yeah. It's just a copy of Frogger.
It's a DVD of Crossroads starring Ralph Macchio.
Oh.
What Star Wars related game have you been playing?
Just the one. Surprisingly, yeah. Nothing but
The Old Republic.
Yeah, I got my girlfriend The Old Republic for Christmas, and we made some Sith characters together. Although,
do they make out? Are they of opposite genders?
They are. I don't know. Sweet. I don't think you can really do it. You can blow a kiss. You can type slash hug, and it says whoever hugs whoever, but it doesn't actually animate it.
Okay.
You know, which is not going to. Otherwise, it'd look like a bad wrestling video game. slash suplex. So we started in on different starting worlds, so we had to play like up to level 10. It's
Get
not
your
like
ships.
It is not. No, we haven't gotten our spaceships yet. Man, it's not like playing with you. There's a lot of like, where are you going? Where are you? Where are you going? I'm going over to where we're supposed to go. Where's that?
Follow the arrow?
It's on the map. Yeah, it's many maps.
So watching Melissa play Dragon Age, like there would be like a marker that would be like, go this way to get to your quest objective. And she'd be like, I don't know where to go. I'm like, maybe go where the arrow is pointing to. And she's like, what are you... Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing? And I was like, yeah.
My girlfriend is not bad at video games, but she does not approach... She does not approach a game with the same level of efficient. Like, her time is not as valuable as we think ours is. I think is what it comes down to, right? She's poking around. She's like, I want to talk to this guy. And whereas, this is an MMO. That guy's not going to say anything to you if you go.
Yeah. I kind of like to do that, but I'm not going to do that if somebody else's time is important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like when you and I were playing World of Warcraft together, we were both like super cognizant of the fact that it's like, no, let's fucking move. Like, let's get shit done. Like, if we're not earning XP, then we don't get paid this week. It's cool though. I get to do a lot of crafting, because you can do a lot of crafting in your downtime. Except those motherfuckers. The first patch came out, and they nerfed my beloved slicing.
Oh, so sad.
It's like one of the gathering skills that you can get, but it's like computer hacking. And it's cool, man. Because I have my slicing leveled up. I was able in an instance that I ran last night to fucking steal a police car, and we all took a shortcut by stealing a fucking police spaceship and flying from one place to another.
That's
because
awesome.
I was able to hack the police car's security console thing. Yeah. I had forgotten to mention this last one. In the dungeons, there are all of these crafting shortcuts where there's like, here's this broken elevator, but if you have, or like, there are like, there's a robot that's broken, and if you have a certain level of like cyber tech or whatever, you can reactivate the robot, and then you just get like another party member doing DPS for you until the robot gets killed. And there are just shortcuts where, like, if you have whatever skill, you can activate this drill, and it will drill a hole through the wall and let you skip a bunch of the trash pulls.
Nice.
I think that is a really neat new mechanic.
Yeah. I really like that idea a lot. Especially when it's fucking steal this police car. Like, I was like, how badass is that? Like, it made me pretty happy.
Now you're wanted on three planets.
But... Sure. I have the death sentence on 12 systems. So people better be careful. So slicing was basically just send your crew members up. Instead of spending money to send your crew members to go get you some goo from a bioanalysis or some parts from a robot that they found on another planet, or whatever, you pay them, you spend some money to send them off and bring you back some more money. And it used to be a lot more money, and then they really significantly cut the yields on it in the last patch, and then everybody was like, oh, F you, I'm canceling my subscription. The forums for the Old Republic are the fucking wasteland. Jesus.
Sure.
It is...
I feel like that's just true of all modern games.
These manifestos about like, oh man, how hard is it to do this right? If I was making an MMO, this is what I would do. And then it was just like a bullet pointed list of things from other MMOs. They're like, do this from WoW and do this from Warhammer and do this from Vanguard and do this from fucking Warhammer Online. And And not a single word is spelled right. And it's just, God, I just want to kill everyone on those forums. Every once in a while, I want to go in there and see, like, oh, I'm having trouble with this thing. How do I look at this? So I decided to go back to one of the low-level planets on my higher-level guy and start leveling up a different craft skill than I had been doing. I didn't get rid of slicing because I had just gotten it to the fucking max when they nerfed it. Great. But I decided to go back to one of the earlier worlds and pick all the potted plants to make med packs out of them. And as I was running around, it was like, oh, well, while I'm here and not, you know, like a high enough level that none of the mobs are attacking me or whatever, I should also go find the Datacrons that are on this.
What are Datacrons?
So the Datacrons are these things that on every planet in the game, there are a handful of these objects that you can interact with that either increase your stats by some tiny amount or give you like a thing that you can later combine with other things like it to turn into some trinket kind of things that you can use. Okay. But they're hidden in places that are pretty hard to get to by and large. Like on the starting worlds, every once in a while you'll just run into one or you'll like be on a flight path and you'll see it off to the side and you're like, oh, I just need to go back there and that's where this thing is. They glow and they emit this little spike of light going upwards so you can see them. You can see them if you're kind of close to them, you can see them and you know where you need to get to. But like the ones on this planet that I went to last night were like, it was fucking crazy how you had to get to them. Cause it was like, it was on Coruscant. So it was all crazy, just city everywhere.
And you're not allowed to fly or anything?
Yeah, you can't fly. And so it's like you had to go all the way across the other end of the zone to find a place where there was like a box up against a pipe. So you could jump onto the box and then jump onto the pipe and then run down a pipe and jump to another pipe and then go up another pipe and then across another pipe. A lot of pipes.
Nice.
And then you find this thing. And then there was like one that I couldn't figure out where it was. And so I was like, I found five of the six on this planet. So I'm just going to search the internet for it and see what the deal is. There were a lot of people. Most of the results were just people talking about how bullshit the whole thing was.
Really?
Yeah, with the Datacrons. Largely described as data crones or data corns by the people who were talking these things. What the fuck, BioWare? This is an MMO, not a platformer. And a lot of people saying that they couldn't. I spent 6 hours trying to get this. I was like, okay,
yeah. So
you're really bad at video games.
Yeah, like you're really bad at like,
A, you're really bad at video games, and B, find something else to do if you don't like doing that.
Except you can't tell them that because it's +2 stats, and you gotta have +2 stats. Or anybody who did that and you didn't do it, they're gonna have an advantage against you in PvP, which they already do because you're fucking retarded. You can't, and they say it's not. You know, it's latency. The latency is so bad that I can't jump from pipe to pipe without falling off, and yet this minuscule PvP advantage is somehow going to make the difference, though I'm apparently doing
suffering
this on a
TI-85. Suffering from such bad lag. That, so,
It's just a lot of really, like, it's just people who are frustrated with there being something hard in an MMO that is you know, mostly handing them things. And I think it's fucking awesome.
It sounds sweet as hell.
There is apparently one that is, it's on Tatooine, and it's on top of a... It's on top of a sand crawler that there's no way to get up on top of, except there, all the way across the desert, there is another sand crawler that you can get on top of.
And then
a
drive.
Hot air balloon. No, you don't drive. There is a hot air balloon that every 30 minutes makes a transit from one sand crawler to the other. This is like some Stars in Braid shit that they decided to do with these. So it's like, you got to get on top of that one, wait for the balloon to come back, get on it.
Your expected wait is 15 minutes.
Half an hour for it to get across to the other.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And if you're not there at the half hour when it gets there, you're just on it.
Yep.
You go back and you have to wait an hour.
But it pisses a lot of people off. But it is fucking great. Because that was the kind of shit that we did. Roy made fun of me because his experience of World of Warcraft was watching me trying to, like, get on top of statues and shit. Like, just trying to stand on top of things. He was like, what are you trying to... I'm like, I want to get up there. And so people will see me and think, how did that guy get up there? And this is like, they've just built this into the game to reward this. But it's not tricky. You don't have to do the weird mountain climbing stuff that you do. You know, you're not, like, exploiting a bug. You have to find the place where... there's a box that you can jump on.
Right.
Ah, it's awesome.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So fun. Also, I learned that the kind of cheese with holes in it in the Star Wars universe is called Biss cheese.
Biss.
Mm-hmm. You can have that with your glaze cake. It's delicious. this plan has more holes in it than Biss cheese.
Yeah. So they're just replacing...
I would think this cheese would be the name of a bounty hunter or something.
there is somebody on Coruscant named Nurls Yorkson, which is my favorite NPC name. Nurls Yorkson.
Do they have beet and sour candies? Do they have...
Yes, yeah, beet and sour candies. The Empire's symbol is called a bostica.
Yeah. All right.
The greasers on Tatooine will attack you with a bitch blade.
Nice.
All right. Come on, what are some other words to start with SW? You guys are
bomb fang.
You're leaving me hanging here. Yeah.
Cool. That's what we've been playing.
That is what we've been playing.
Yep.
What's new, Kevin?
I wasn't really paying attention to much news stuff. The Steam holiday sale is going on, which was always like a little tempting for me every Christmas. But now that I have an entire Windows partition on my computer, is super tempting because I don't have any Windows games. So, you know, when there are 50 games at $2 each, it's really easy to spend that money. I've bought like, I don't know, 30 games over the past week.
And really? 30?
Probably.
I've only got like 5 or so. I bought Rage and Bulletstorm.
I bought a couple of packs of games.
I bought From Dust, and it just doesn't work. Like, there was some weird, like, DRM stuff that you had to be connected to, like, an Ubisoft account, and I couldn't... Their servers were down, so I couldn't create an account the day that I got it. And then I was like, oh, well, just they patched in an offline mode, so you don't have to do that anymore. But then when still I hit play offline, it just closes.
Weird.
And then when I hit verify files, it just doesn't do anything at all. So I think I just need to delete it and reinstall it. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah. I've just been getting a bunch of old games and then a bunch of like indie games. I got Terraria and stuff like that, but I've just been buying them and not installing them. I just like eventually someday I might play these.
I noticed that I have like 40 hours played in Terraria.
Wow.
That's a lot of hours.
That is a lot of Terraria. Hours.
I started over a new guy because there were a bunch of patches and a bunch of new stuff. And I also switched computers. So my old world is gone.
Oh,
I know. Yeah.
It wasn't, but they're not persistent worlds though, right?
They are.
Are they? Do you switch back and forth between them?
Yeah, you can. It's like it's like Minecraft, except your character is also persistent.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you can... But it's not like Steam Cloud, so starting on a new computer was starting over.
Yeah, when transferring to my new computer, I appreciated cloud storage of like email and character save states and stuff like that a little bit more. Like,
yeah.
I've been resistant to it for a long time. Like, I just store all my email offline, basically. I have, like, the stuff that I'm currently working on is on the cloud, so I can do that anywhere. But then, like, archive stuff is all local. And I had one, like, corrupted email message, which was preventing me from, like, transferring all of my email over to my new computer. And I was like, this is bullshit.
You were mad.
I was mad.
You were yelling at things and, like, kind of hitting...
That first day of trying to set up the new computer was really frustrating. but I didn't hit anything with a screwdriver. Oh, you know what I... So for Christmas, I got my girlfriend like a sit-stand workstation thing. And in order to do that, I had to like mount, take off. She has an iMac, and I had to mount, take off the like stand on it and put a VESA.
Her Kindle copy of Stephen King's The Stand.
Yeah. I had to put like a bracket on the back of the iMac or whatever. And so I was following the directions, and I guess I missed a step that didn't impede me from actually finishing taking off the stand, but the little bracket that it's attached to just snapped back into the computer, and so there was nothing for me to attach the bracket to because it was attached to this very strong spring that was inside the iMac, and that took me like an hour of fighting with it to get it out.
And you're the hook. That's true. The multi-purpose hook on your Swiss Army knife
The thing that came to save the day was on my Swiss Army knife, there's a multi-purpose hook, which I have used to like carry groceries and stuff like that. But that was the only thing I could find that I could stick in there and grab onto this tiny little, like a piece of protruding metal and pull it up with like all my might while I, with my other hand, shoved something else in there to like get a latch to undo. It was, it's a mess. But yeah, so that works well. Yeah, yeah, that was good. So what else has happened? There's a bunch of people that are trying to transfer their domains away from GoDaddy because for a brief period of time, GoDaddy was in favor of, or at least not against the Stop Online Piracy Act.
Yeah, because it turned out that GoDaddy had some sort of exemption from most of the annoying things that would have been required of domain registrars, because they were like in league with the guy that wrote the bill in the first place. So they didn't really change their minds about. I mean, the whole thing is shady, right? Like the whole thing is just sort of.
SOPA is potentially really problematic.
They haven't come out and said that they're against it. They just kind of quietly said they don't put us on the name that are of people that are for it.
And also said, oh, by the way, you're no longer allowed to transfer domains away from GoDaddy without a written request. So now you have to send us a letter if you want to do this, which, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah. So everybody was like, move your domains away from GoDaddy. And all of the neckbeards were like, yeah, I will do this. And then it's like,
so they lost like 70 or 80,000 domains.
And then there were a lot of people saying like, I wish that you could have leveled this sort of enthusiasm, you know, against your congressmen.
Senators. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and GoDaddy is.
I'm a little worried about SOPA. Like, I feel like, I feel like it could lead to some serious badness out in the world. But, you know, maybe the Supreme Court will look at it and be like, okay, this is not acceptable.
I kind of see it, and, you know, I feel like I've said this before, but I think that it is a rule that is being passed by a bunch of people who don't understand it, and it is not going to end up creating a lot of problems. Like, because the world at large, who has to go to work every morning and deal with the fallout from it, is just not going to let it. Right? Like, it's not like, oh, okay, Google doesn't work anymore because of SOPA. Like, nobody is going to fucking put up with that.
So for those of us listening who are like me, who don't pay attention to current events and political issues because I don't like being sad all the time, what is SOPA?
So it is the Stop Online Piracy Act, and I think the thing that most people are concerned about is there is a provision in it that theoretically allows anyone.
Well, it's the rights holder, right? So if somebody uses a service, like, so under SOPA, let's say Kingdom of Loathing, somebody in KOL's chat posts a link
or our forums,
posts a link to a copy of Spider-Man 3. Torrent that they have, Warner Brothers would be able to file a claim that would just disappear us from the internet, right? Which is fucking crazy, and it's not going to happen. Yeah. Which is why which is why I'm not worried about this.
Unless it could. I mean, like, I know people are paranoid, and I'm not trying to say that. Like,
I mean, it would require all of the registrars to say, no one is allowed to load kingdomofloathing.com anymore because they're pirates. And so that they're like websita non grata at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
this is my incomplete understanding of it, but
I don't know what the checks and balances are, but the idea that something even sort of like that could happen is a little scary. Right. And so that's why all the people who are super at the, you know, the forefront of internet rights and stuff like that is all up in arms. But yeah,
I mean, it is a miserable heap of shit, and I'm not like trying to go on record saying that I support it, but
you're not concerned about it.
Well, I'm not concerned about it. Like, just like I'm not concerned, you know, there was a big deal in our company. It was like, no, we need to put a privacy policy on the front page because we have to come into compliance with COPPA or they're going to shut us down. And I was like, you know what? No, we fucking don't. We don't have to make up some bullshit privacy policy. And like, I'm just going to pretend that this doesn't exist. Like, our website it doesn't have any ads on it because I'm disgusted by ads on the internet. And it also doesn't have a fucking EULA because I'm disgusted by EULAs. And I'm going to pretend that I live in a world where that shit is not necessary. And maybe the way that we go out of business is that we get sued by some asshole because we don't have a privacy policy posted on the front of our website that has 9,000 paragraphs of bullshit that no one understands or will ever read. But maybe that's not a fucking big deal because nobody ever reads it and nobody understands it, right? And so I'd rather live in a world where it's not a big deal. I'd rather live in a world where we just got a website and then, you know, it's like, okay, here's my website. I don't have any lawyers, so I'm okay. As long as I don't have any lawyers, I'm not in any danger.
I certainly hope you're right.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, but maybe not. You know, maybe we become this. Maybe we become this really sad story. Like maybe.
Oh, maybe we'll finally get a This American Life story.
Yeah, exactly. maybe when I'm in a nursing home someday, we're like, fuck. I wish that I had wasted a bunch of time coming into compliance with COPPA, because COPPA was also going to ruin the fucking internet, right? Like it was, oh, you can't do anything on the internet anymore because of this. But like, no, it just turns out it fucking doesn't amount to anything. Like. Every once in a while, there will be some mention of it somewhere. But like any time it would actually do anything harmful to anything, it gets stopped by the courts.
Yeah, I mean, we can hope.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, the people who are – it's weird, man. I have a hard time – I have the same kind of hard time with the really staunchly anti-piracy people as I do with the, like, oh, copyright law is stifling innovation. Like, copyright law keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse. And it keeps getting more and more, like every law, it keeps getting more and more in favor of big corporations. And there has never been a better time to be a creative person. Like, this is not stifling innovation. It's not killing creativity. Like, you can sit there and say, no, well, you have to steal. All art is plagiarism. But, like, you know what? All art is not fucking 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers published where other people can see it. Like, you can do all of the same shit that these laws would prevent you from doing as long as you don't fucking show it to anybody. Like, if you're going to show somebody something, it should be an original thing, and that's okay. That's how it's always been. Yep. And
so, when you go on the subway in your trench coat... as long as it's yours and you're not copying anybody, you can show anybody anything.
Yes, exactly. Okay. You know, it's like the fucking the Stephen Colbert thing where it's like, hey, check it out. Under SOPA, these people, and then they showed a YouTube video of some junior high girls dancing with some song playing in the background. These girls are felons under SOPA. You know what? That is so absurd that no one is ever going to get in trouble over something like that.
Well, let's hope.
The fact that they could doesn't mean that they will, because eventually there is a sane person.
Well, eventually it's a senator's kid or whatever, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what's going to stop this. If it passes, somebody will locate a senator's website or Coca-Cola's website and go through the legal process to get it shut down. Yeah. And the people in charge will go, oh, wait, yeah, this is stupid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've already started looking like that website that will now show you all of the BitTorrent traffic to your IP address. Like, people have started looking at, like, oh, well, right, look right. at how much stuff is being torrented at every state and
Warner Brothers and stuff
government
like that.
Address. Like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, well, I mean, what'd you expect, you know? Yeah,
something that I never understood was why more drugs were never planted on senators' cars, right? Because, like, there was – people were talking about, like, the ability for the police to, you know, use drug dogs to arrest people just by taking them to a parking lot or whatever. And, like, you could just do that. You could just plant drugs on people's cars and get them arrested. That's you gotta be able to call that insane, right?
Sure. I mean, I think you can do that, and people don't, right?
I don't know.
You know, it sucks. It's like it. I guess I can understand the people who are getting outraged by my level of disaffection with this whole process, saying, "Well, you know, just because it's stupid doesn't mean that it should be allowed, right? Because somebody somewhere will get fucked by it, and you should do everything that you can to stop it." But it's just like.
Yeah, but I definitely think that getting angry at GoDaddy is not necessarily the where the energy should be.
That's pretty misdirected.
But it's easy because the guy from GoDaddy is an asshole.
And also, it's something that you have direct power over, which is where your domains are registered, right?
Yeah.
You don't really have much power. You can send a letter to a senator. That's kind of like yelling into a hole.
You know, everybody made fun of me for all these years for registering all my domains with network solutions. They were like, just move to GoDaddy. It's so cheap. And I was like, no, 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 because that guy's politics are unlike my politics. And also, he was mean to an elephant once.
By mean, you mean right. Killed and ate.
Yeah.
Well, as long as he ate it.
Yeah.
He didn't eat it. He gave the meat to poor African villagers.
Oh, right. It was It was Zuckerberg. Yeah, well, Zuckerberg who killed an ape elephant. Because he's only eating things that he killed.
Right.
Like orphans.
Yeah.
And also, not defending the asshole who runs GoDaddy, because I'm sure he's an asshole.
The only other thing that was in
also
the news
also wearing
was...
an American Apparel American Apparel t-shirt, even though that guy's also an asshole.
Was that Penny Arcade ocean marketing bullshit?
There are no good guys in that story.
So this one guy ordered a controller, which was apparently originally made for like handicapped people or whatever, but it seems like a bunch of like gamers really want one. And so they were supposed to be shipped out in early December, and that didn't happen. So he emailed the marketing guy or the customer support guy, and just got these really combative, unhelpful emails back, and finally forwarded.
It was very internet. All of this exchange was very internet.
He forwarded on the email exchange to one of the guys at Penny Arcade, who then posted the exchange on Penny Arcade, and now the internet has collectively shat on that guy's life.
You know, publicly posting somebody's phone number on a website with the intent of getting all of your readers to maliciously do things with that phone number is it's a really good way to affect change, namely that person changing their phone number.
Yeah.
I don't really like a pissing contest. And so,
to
my mind, you know, like, okay, yep. Everyone involved in this, except maybe the original guy who just wanted to know where his controller was.
Right.
He's kind of an asshole.
I do feel bad because I feel like, you know, we are in a situation where we have angry customers every now and then. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I try to be as polite as I can to them usually, but sometimes some of them are assholes.
No, but sometimes you send them to our douchey frat guy right after he's taken a big dose of steroids. they found a bunch of stuff about the guy that was writing these emails that was like also on like some like steroid enthusiast forums. And
wow,
yeah, I mean, it's just this fucking internet nightmare.
Yeah.
Internet nightmare.
I wonder like what kind of dirt people would be able to dig up on me on the internet. I don't know that there is a lot of dirt.
You've been to Ghana. You probably have AIDS.
That's true. I have been to Ghana. If I'd also been to space, maybe I would have had space AIDS.
Mouse AIDS.
All right. Is that all the news?
I think so.
Good. All right. So the assignment, cave story.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah, great.
Are there a lot of people crusading for cave story rights that I'm going to offend by saying that I didn't really like cave story?
I remember liking it. I didn't find out it was the assignment until like right before we did the podcast, but I had played it in the past. I remember enjoying it, although I don't remember a lot of the particulars.
I didn't know this was an old game. I thought this was just something that just came out with the new Humble Indie Bundle.
It was like a remake of it, and it's well, like 10 years old.
I don't know when it was very first published. The like sort of scuttlebutt on the street was that it was one of the first like indie games to like do really well, mm-hmm. and sort of made a bunch of people be like, oh, I could be an indie game publisher. I could make something that was cool. Yeah.
Hmm. Was it ever for sale though? Like when I played it before the original version, I just downloaded it, and I think I downloaded it from them. And then you had to download like a translation pack or something. And then it was like, yeah, I think I must have downloaded the wrong translation pack because it still doesn't make any fucking sense.
I don't know. I don't know the story of it, to be honest. But
I did not give this one as much of a chance as I should have because
there were no lightsabers.
There were no lightsabers. Yeah.
You do eventually get a sword.
Okay.
Which you throw.
Yeah. Okay. In Terraria, you eventually get a lightsaber. I could play some of that.
That's true.
I found the jumping to be a little squishy.
A little bit.
I missed a lot of jumps and had to like it started really bothering me that the central town required a bunch of annoying jumps to traverse.
Yeah.
Instead of being easy to move around in. Like, why couldn't it have been more like the towns in Castlevania 2?
So the jumping was a little annoying. There definitely was a bunch of platforming and some platforming puzzling that was kind of obnoxious.
I don't know how you guys could have any problems with the jumping in this game and not in Trine 2.
Huh.
God, that game flummoxed me. I
2004 is when it came out.
I didn't have a problem with this game at all.
Huh.
Of course, I hooked up my old USB gamepad so I could get like the authentic old school experience.
You know, nowhere in that fucking program does it tell you what any of the key bindings are, nor does it let you reset them. So that was like, I didn't know that there was a subscreen where you could look at shit until Kevin told me.
Right.
And then like the fact that the map is a thing that is like a couple, like a tricky pair of jumps just hidden that it doesn't tell you about. Oh, okay, map, fundamental interface feature. We're just going to hide that in a treasure chest next to this fucking rabbit's house. And then also not tell you that there's a key you can press to fucking bring it up. So the first few times, it was like, oh, go into the subscreen, move the highlight over to the map and use it. And then after that, after I figured out that you could, like, switch between weapons and then there was the button for the subscreen and the button to bring up the map, I never once hit the button that was what I intended to do. Every time I was like, oh, fuck, okay, well, there's all these experience point triangles on the ground, but I
want to pick them up with a separate weapon.
I used the gun that already is maxed out, so I guess I better switch to the weapon I want to level up, run in, hope I don't get hit by anything, because I don't want to waste the ammo that I have for that one, and also I won't be able to hit anything, because it moves real slow, and they're moving real fast, and then I'm like, all right, well, I better switch over to that. Fuck! Close the map. Fuck! Close the status screen and then hit the button to switch to the right weapon.
Yeah.
This is a problem with me, not a problem with the game.
Pep cack here.
Yeah.
I had some trouble with the map thing too. I didn't discover that it was even there until halfway through the game, until the game leads you back to the main village after you go through all the waterworks and all that stuff. And like, oh, hell, there's a treasure chest I never opened. I'll see what's in there. Oh, a map. Holy crap.
I don't use the map very much anyway.
It doesn't seem like you really need to in any of the stuff that I saw so far. Because it's not about, like, discovering new places. It's about figuring out which fucking thing that you have to talk to that will say something that doesn't make any goddamn sense that will then change the world in some inexplicable way. Like, oh, you need to get some jellyfish juice. Go kill one of those jellyfish. What jellyfish? And then when you go out of the house, oh, of course, talking to this guy filled the entire fucking world with jellyfish. That makes a whole bunch of sense. And I got to the point where there's this robot and he was like, oh, sure, I'm a bomb making robot. I can make a bomb for you. Just go back and kill this thing that you just killed a few minutes ago and then get me two other things that I'm not telling you where they are. And I was
just
like,
even like that. I mean, you talk to that guy, he's like, I'm a bomb making robot. The end.
Yeah.
Right.
Like what?
Oh, okay.
What do you mean? I want a bomb.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you have to go talk to somebody else and then go talk to somebody else. Then go back to talk to the robot. And he sent me on that error. And I was like, fuck you, robot. And I just closed the game. And I think, you know.
You didn't even get to the part where you found out that you are a robot.
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, now I can never play it again.
That's one of the things that I really dislike about the new DS remake. Is because
you find out right away that the
cover art shows him very obviously to be a robot on the box.
Huh.
Well, I felt that was such an interesting part of the game plot was finding that out.
Yeah.
It seems like a real shame.
Playing the game, I mean, you look at your guy and he looks like all the. I mean, there's several points in the game where you find like other robots and like dead robots and stuff like that, and you look like one of those guys. Mm. And
were you playing with the original graphics or the new graphics?
Well, that was one of the things that I actually noted. I spent most of the game playing with the new graphics, and then I, you know, just on a whim, I'm like, oh, I have the option to play the old graphics. I'll see what that's like. Because of the new graphics, I knew they were pixel art and like chiptune-y kind of stuff, but I didn't think it was like pixely enough. I mean, it was so finely done that it could have been vector graphics. And then I switched to the old graphics and I'm like, oh, more pixels, more chiptunes.
It is weird. Like, it's pixelated, but they're not all of the pixels are the same size. It's like this weird sort of like, I also noticed this in some of the stuff in The Binding of Isaac. Like in the load screen, there's a little pixelated Isaac, but his mouth is made of half height pixels.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and it's because they couldn't get the right level of detail in the number of pixels that they wanted to use, and so they were like, "Well, you know, we're using pixels on purpose. We're using pixels as an aesthetic. We don't have to stick to the right, you know, the same resolution." So there's just like some stuff in the Cave Story Plus graphics that are like double resolution, and to me they stick out. Like they look weird.
Are they double resolution or are they just, is everything else at half resolution?
I think everything else is at half resolution.
Yeah.
I found it a little confused. Like, there were so many visual effects and stuff on the screen that I found it confused. Like, I was constantly getting hurt and not really understanding what had hit me. I was really frustrated by, like, the fact that this is a game that requires you to just sort of jump around a lot and go different places over and over again because you have no idea where the fuck you're supposed to go, sort of Castlevania 2 style. And there's just all this shit that will kill you in one hit. Like, oh, this floor's not real. There's also poisonous spikes underneath here that will kill you in one hit. You can see them, but like...
The instant kill stuff was very frustrating.
Yes.
The
level that did me in was like, it was called, quote unquote, the last cave in parentheses hidden.
Huh.
And everything was either lava or red spikes. And you had to use your little jetpacky thing to get through without touching the floor or the ceiling and everything. And there was monsters flying at you.
Yeah, you played that when you were a kid, right? The floor is lava. The ceiling is poisonous red spikes.
But I couldn't jump that high when I was a kid, so I could never touch
it. You didn't have a jetpack. the things that I did like about it were the individually leveling weapons that, when you got hit, downgraded a little bit. Because what I found myself doing was in boss fights, I'd pick a weapon and I'd shoot the boss with that weapon for a while, and then I'd take some damage, and I'd lose. It would downgrade by one or two levels or something like that. So I'd switch to a different weapon to fight the boss because the first weapon was no longer doing enough damage or being optimal enough or whatever. So like, it was the first game that I felt like I was actually in a boss fight switching to like three or four different weapons.
They did some interesting stuff with that. I think one of the weapons actually gets worse as you level it.
Really?
Yeah. I seem to recall.
Huh.
Which means, so as when you first get it, it's the awesomest thing, but if you use it too much, it becomes weak.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I also was really surprised the first time I got killed because I wasn't really paying attention. The number next to your weapon is the level of the weapon, and the number next to your hit points is not like the number of reserve energy tanks that you have. It's just your hit points. So I was like, what? I was expecting that bar to fill back up because it said one. Well, like, no, that just meant I had one hit point left. I really probably should have saved at any point recently. The number of remakes of this game and them still having the save point system, like, that is needlessly retro. Just let me quick save.
Yeah.
You know, have an auto save slot. Like, I feel like we've figured out how to do saves in video games so that nobody is pissed off because they didn't save.
Yeah, really. Like the level that did me in, it was really long and really hard. And every time you died, there was no save point anywhere in the level except at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right, and like no checkpointing. Like
You get halfway through, you got to fight a mini boss, and even when you get past that guy, you end up dying, you still have to start the whole level all over again.
In one place there was a hidden save point.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, multiple cases. There was one that was just hidden by scenery, and there was one that, if you broke a block in the ceiling, one fell down. Yeah, yeah. So, like, I'm wondering if there are other ones of those that you just didn't find.
Well, I looked on a game FAQ at one point where I got stuck, and you just got to get through the whole thing.
Wow, that's rough.
It's, you know, there are things about old video games that were good, and then there were things about old video games that are just needlessly cruel. And
when you mentioned Castlevania 2. And this may be one reason why I really like this game, is that Castlevania 2 was probably my favorite Castlevania game of the series.
Have you played it recently?
I have not, no.
Yeah, I mean...
I got a ROM of it, and I kind of plinked around in it a little bit, but I haven't, like, seriously
played it. I mean, we did it as an assignment a few weeks ago.
We all finished it.
Yeah, but it was a fucking chore. And we finished it
because I think all of us resorted to walkthroughs. Because,
right off the bat, like, immediately went to a walkthrough, which I think I did when I was a kid too, because I had the Nintendo Power, you know, and it just had everything in it. Because I don't think there's any way it makes me want to have access to like the quantum reality in which I've never played Castlevania 2, and somehow I could get in there, put a gun to my head, and say, "Beat this, or I will kill you."
I wonder how many different times in your life in that reality you have come up to yourself with a gun and been like, do this thing or I will kill you.
Yeah, I want to know whether this is possible or not. Yeah, and I'm trying to prove a point about a video game.
You're just inured to that kind
just
of thing?
Like, and I'm just like, what the fuck, man? There's no justice in this universe. In fact, the other one of you is over there making me play a different game. How am I supposed to do both of these at the same time?
Get in line, asshole.
I think the one thing about this game that I did not like was that all of the monsters that you had to kill were really cute, and even when you hit them or killed them, they made like cute noises, and I had a really hard time with that for a little while. And especially, I don't know if you guys got to this point, but when you have to go back to the egg chamber and everything's trashed, all the eggs hatch and there's like these malformed baby dragons that came out of them, and you have to kill them, and they look really pathetic. And that's sad. God, I just had a really hard time with it.
Huh?
Is this guy Japanese?
This is a Japanese game.
I think that whatever it is that makes people like this game is the same thing that gives, I would say, most nerds the sort of like stereotypical fascination with Japanese culture that I have just never had. At all. Like, I never really got into anime. I never got into any of that, like, sort of the just sort of like otaku aspects of that culture. And I think that maybe this just fails to speak to me on some level.
Could be because you don't like karaoke. You cannot like this game.
Yeah, I don't like karaoke. I hate Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah. And, wow.
I recently watched Scrooged for the holiday season.
Oh, yeah?
And classic. I was going to suggest bringing it over to your guys' place. I'm glad I didn't.
I don't hate Bill Murray. I actually love Bill Murray. But the Japanese like Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. So, cave story. What's our next assignment, Kevin?
We're thinking Dungeon Keeper 2. It is available on GOG. It is a PC game, a Windows game in particular. But probably playable via emulator. Riff will do some experimentation. Yeah. I can just play it because I've got a Windows partition now. So,
and I have a real computer, so I'll be able to play it just fine. Also, I played a lot of this one. I wanted to pick an assignment that I was able to talk about without actually spending a lot of time playing, so that I can spend more time playing Star Wars: The Old Republic. Also, I've started pooping in this sock, and I've gained 200 pounds since the last podcast. We watched Second Skin.
Oh, yeah, the documentary.
That was something we watched on Christmas. It was a documentary about MMO players and how much weight they gain. It's pretty stark. It was Tony Stark. They started out looking like Tony Stark. They ended looking like Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I was going to say, none of them started out thin, but...
Anyway, Dungeon Keeper 2, play that. Gongog.cock. How about some listener's mail, guys?
Sure.
All right. First question from the forums, old one writes, to the hot dog crew, what is the most underrepresented setting in video games? I think a Viking video game or a medieval knight game would be awesome, but there doesn't seem to be very many good games. I don't know if you mean like an authentic medieval knight game, because I feel like that's there are only medieval knight video games. And Viking games, Skyrim?
Lost Vikings. Yeah.
Cyberpunk is not.
Yeah. I do kind of miss.
Sadly underrepresented.
Cyberpunk these days.
I want Western.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going
to have to make one, though.
But there's a bunch of those, aren't there?
There's a handful, right? There was Gun.
Gun before that.
There was Horse. there was...
10-gallon hat.
Mine.
Wasn't there a Grand Theft Horse?
Boot.
That was Red Dead Redemption.
I know. There are Western. I want a Western RPG where the Indians are wizards.
I mean, what we want is Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Well, no, but Shadowrun 1877.
No, but Shadowrun has the Wild West where
I want
the
Sundering to happen
in
1877. What I want is Deadlands, the video game.
But I think, the great thing about Shadowrun is that you could do the cyberpunk and the Western
I would like more noir stuff. L.A. Story I thought was really good.
The Steve Martin movie?
L.A. Noir.
L.A. Noir.
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker was still kind of cute back then.
She looks better in black and white.
She had roller skates.
She's
got legs till Tuesday.
I really want a good hacking game. Uplink looked great. It was this
You could play that fucking slave.hack game, browser hacking game.
Uplink was a beautiful looking game, but it
there is another one that, like that, but I that it wasn't very good. Recent, but I don't remember what it's called.
And I just that like that idea is so awesome, and yeah. and that ties into the cyberpunk thing because that, that's definitely like
I would like to see some more in along the lines of cyberpunk and noir. I would like to see some more Blade Runner style stuff.
Definitely.
So just noir. Slight future or whatever. Yeah.
I would like to see a Grand Theft Auto game in that genre.
A Grand Theft Auto cyberpunk?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto Blade Runner, you know.
Okay. Grand Theft Hover Car.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Dystopian Hover Car.
Yes.
A really well-conceived steampunk game would be cool,
Steampunk?
Too.
Steampunk is popular, but I don't feel like anybody is really knocking it out of the park yet.
One of these days, we got to play Arcanum, because that was a very early entry into the steampunk video game thing. Mm. It's pretty good. I just want a Western RPG. I want cowboys and Indian wizards and...
Prospector like a, with a mule.
Yeah, and like you gotta kill 10 rattlesnakes instead of 10 rats. He also asks, a second question, what is the best stealth-based game you've ever played, and why? I don't like stealth games.
Deus Ex.
Mark of Kree on the PS2 was really good.
Metal Gear.
Had really nice graphics. Metal Gear Solid was good.
I've never played any of the Metal Gear. So I really enjoyed Metal Gear 1.
Yeah. Metal Gear on Game Boy was really good.
No, I never played that one.
Something that I was about to mention. Apparently there was a pretty good Shadowrun game for the Genesis. There's this Watch Out for Fireballs is this podcast where they play. It's like kind of like our assignment section, but for an entire podcast where they just get in depth about a particular old game. And they did this Shadowrun game.
My buddy Dan raved about that game for a long time. I never played it because I didn't have a Genesis, but he was like all about it.
It took me a while to parse that. I thought maybe you had a friend named Muppety Dan. Like, oh, my friend Dan, he's made of fur.
There was going to be a... Wasn't there going to be like a cyberpunk MMO that got canceled?
Well, there was The Matrix Online.
Sure.
It's weird. I think that you can either take the like cyberspace thing and you can abstract it to the point where it's just swords and sorcery so that people understand it, or you can try and make it into something interesting and then everyone will just be sort of perplexed by it. And I like both of those options. It was like a door game when I was in the BBS. I'm not going to say I was in the BBS scene. In the BBS days, when I lived in a town that had a bunch of BBSs with only one line, so there was never any multi-person action going on. No cybering. I didn't learn to cyber until college. I didn't learn to start sexting until I had a cell phone. When I was a kid, they taught us how to sext on a typewriter. Which, what you would do is you would sneak into the typewriter class after school, type boobs, and then jerk off.
You leave notes for your girlfriend in the card catalog in the library.
Yeah. So that there's that Shadowrun game, that cyberpunk. One thing that I wish was true of Shadowrun is that it didn't have elves and trolls. I feel like you could have gone just the cyberpunk.
It's fine.
And then, but there's not...
It's a blend of everything, and it's perfect.
Okay. Sure.
It's got dragons,
I guess.
And it's got skeletons, and it's got swords, and it's got... hacking. And
these other genres don't have the sort of like really resonant, definitive...
You need a lot of D6s if you're going to encounter a dragon.
You can have a cyborg dragon.
Cyberpunk doesn't have a Tolkien, right?
Cyborg
dragon.
Like,
it's got some... Like, that sort of idea has Gibson, but that's... People aren't as familiar with that. Maybe they will be in 40 years, right? Maybe once the hippies catch on. Have you read Neuromancer? It's great, man. Led Zeppelin just recorded an album about it, man. Then it'll get popular. Then it'll get embedded in the consciousness. And then everybody will know what... I don't know, wet slice of cray. What is it that the guy in Hackers, something of Gibson.
Hacking the Gibson.
That wasn't hacking Gibson. It was some phrase about doing something to a Gibson that guy. And who was that guy?
I keep confusing it with gleaming the cube.
Gleaming the Gibson. Yeah, gleaming the Gibson. Fuck, the guy who was in that movie was a guy. This is literally the best segment. Jacob McAllister says, hey guys, love the show, and as I listen to the weekly assignments, it seems Phantasy Star 4 would be right up your alley. It was easily my favorite game when I was younger and got me into RPGs, so I was wondering if any of you guys had played it and what you thought. If you haven't, it seems to me like it'd be a great assignment. Thanks, and love the show.
Was that a Dreamcast one? I had a Dreamcast, but I never played any of the Phantasy Star games.
All you played was C-Man.
Those were Sega games, I never had C-Man either.
I liked
never had a Sega.
Jet Grind Radio.
I always wanted to play that, but I didn't have the right platform for it.
That was kind of cyberpunk.
Yeah, it was a little bit, yeah.
I played a version. There was a pseudo MMO that came out for the Xbox, like in the early days of Xbox Live. There was like Phantasy Star Online or Phantasy Star Universe or something that I got 10 minutes into, and it was just fucking terrible. And so I just wandered away from it. But no, I had no exposure to any of those games. Because that was like really Sega franchisey, and I didn't have any Segas or know anybody. I didn't knew anyone who had any Segas. I went to a kid's house once and he had a Sega, and we played the snail game.
I was never really into role-playing games at all.
I liked the idea of them, but then I would get bored.
Get me wrong, I like role-playing games in like pen and paper, but not video game role-playing games. I never saw the point of it.
RPGs were one the big genre for me, but I did not get very far in a lot of them. There are relatively few that I liked enough to play all the way to the end.
Yeah, I did Final Fantasy VII to the end, and I guess Final Fantasy III, was that like the last one on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I did those two, and that
it
was
had a
it.
Karate man. You could do a Hadouken in a fight and get on a raft. That's all I remember.
Oh, this is really off topic, but did you guys notice that in Cave Story, the guy was wearing a Santa hat for the...
Yeah, I turned that off.
You can turn it off.
Yeah, you can go in the options and turn it off.
I didn't notice that.
The holiday graphics pack.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Traded in his Terry Bogard ball cap for the Santa hat.
RJ Hillis at yahoo.com writes... are all of you going to play Star Wars The Old Republic? If so, which classes? You guys aren't, because you're all Mac jerks.
I would like to.
Every single one of you.
No, I could, because I got that Windows partition, but I am not going
to
do it.
You're not allowed to play any MMOs.
I'm not going
to
play any MMOs. Like, if I can play Skyrim without it ruining my life and friendships and relationships, then then maybe I could someday play an MMO, but I'm not even sure that I'll be able to play Skyrim without having to delete it or something.
Just, I don't know, set yourself an alarm or a stopwatch. And...
Yeah, that never works. I'm always in the middle of something, and I want to keep playing. So,
snooze alarm.
Yeah. That you hit like 50 times.
Just like life.
Another reader writes, "Dear Video Games Hot Dog, I finally broke down and signed up for a Steam account so I could buy Binding of Isaac and give the creators money after having pirated the game originally. Suck it, SOPA." Yeah, you're a crusader. So now I've decided, now I've discovered how easy it is to use Steam. What are a few titles I should look into buying that have a similar novelty / replayability factor to Binding of Isaac? Boy, I don't know. If you find any, let me know, because that game fucking rules.
I mean, if
Terraria
is
awesome.
If you like roguelikes, you might like Dungeons of Dreadmore.
It's not like Binding of Isaac.
No, though. But it's...
Nothing is like Binding of Isaac.
It has the replayability. If what you're looking for is replayability, then it's a different dungeon every time. It's sort of pretty samey
dungeon every time.
I'm trying to think of other stuff, right? Like that's one.
What are other games that are that different every time? We talk about.
I mean, Binding of Isaac is pretty samey too. That's the thing.
It's really not though. It's an entirely different game depending on what power ups you get to begin with, right? We've talked about games like this in the past where it's like you might as well just roll a die in the beginning to see if you're gonna be able to win or not because of those decisions that are made when the game is generated in the first place. What are other games that are like that? Strange Adventures in Infinite Space.
I mean, NetHack, sort of. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Although NetHack, even you know,
well, because it's whether or not you can get a wish right away.
I guess
can change the whole course of the game and stuff.
To get some sweet +3 waterproof blessed gray dragon scale mail. That's what you're supposed to ask for, right? Waterproof blessed +3 gray dragon scale mail. I think that's the best thing that you can safely wish for and definitely get it, or it was at some point. Yeah, that's what you should wish for, kids. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us one of their wishes,
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us VGHotDog@gmail.com, and they could check out our forums accessible via our website, videogameshotdog.com.
Yeah, and now the questions that you have to answer to create a forums account, slightly less retarded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
They are much improved. Much improved. That's it, I think.
There are two questions. One is, list all of the numbers between 1 and 100 separated by commas. And then another question is, list any number between 1 and 100.
Separated by commas.
Those are the two. Yeah. Hey, I've had fun doing a Video Games Hot Dog podcast with you guys.
Yeah, 2011, man. Yeah. It's almost done.
And, end. Yeah, listeners, if the world doesn't end early, maybe the Mayans were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they had it off by one. Yeah.
We'll see you next week on another episode of Video Games Hot Dog.
See ya.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.